favorite astrology program, It's All in the Stars, with astrologer Hassan Jaffer. And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
And welcome to It's All in the Stars, your astrology program with Hassan Jaffer, and today we have Shirin on the line. And hello, Shirin.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, I'm in Toronto.
Nice to be here.
Shirin is in Los Angeles, and having a great time. We'll hear about your earthquake also that you had. I understand you're right in the middle of it, so we'll talk about that also. One of my very dear friends, her name is Shirin, actually, and she's in Vancouver. Hopefully she's listening to the show, and I'll give out the numbers actually, but basically people can call in for the caller, but I'm more interested in her. We can have some astrological discussion. That's a very interesting thing, Shirin. She was also one of my instructors. And she went to the sidereal system, also the Indian system. And I always felt that there's some things I do like in the Indian system, but I do not like where the vernal equinox is. You know, they take it with the constellations, where we take it with the signs.
Right.
And but all the nakshatras and the dasa system, everything is, I really believe, that the original one, and nobody has practiced the original one. What the Indians did about 2,200 or 2,500 years ago. So if you cave this precession of the equinox, they call it Ayanamsa. If you make it 0 degrees, it becomes exactly the western position of the planet. Now, when you apply those eastern rules to that, then it becomes the original Indian system. And that would be excellent. Because right now, to me, you know, when you have Venus in Virgo, then you cannot justify if you have Venus in Leo, like from the Indian method. They're two completely, completely different. So we are doing something together. We are going to be able to do something which nobody has done ever, from what I can understand. So you make the Ayanamsa zero, take all the western positions of the planet, and just add more things to it, like the nakshatra and all that. This is just the so many extra ones, the harmonics and everything.
Right.
And the other thing I really want to discuss today, oh, by the way, let me give out the numbers first. So in Canada, this is 888-815-9756. And this is a toll-free number, of course. So it's 1-888-815-9756. And I'm hoping Phyllis calls on that line. And this will be a complete triangle. So Los Angeles, Vancouver, and Toronto. And in U.S., it's 1-877-876-5227. And for those who are interested in learning astrology and how to apply it, this would be fantastic, actually, from my perspective, Phyllis' perspective, and Shirin's perspective. So all three of us are into astrology, of course. So you'll get some really good insights in that. And, of course, it'll be archived as well. And you can even go on my site as well to see the archives. And our website is astrotrends.net. And you can always email to us at stargaze@astrotrends.net if you have any questions and about astrology, about the world, etc. Another thing which I want to cover today, Shirin, is the theme that we talked about before, you know, about the different movies and the 12 themes.
Oh, yeah.
So what I felt, you know, Shirin, and I think the most important thing to me is the sun's distance from the Earth, like the obliquely, the ecliptic that they call, like the apparent path of the sun, and of course the Earth is moving up and down, and you know, just in a circle. So that angle and that deviation, it's at vernal equinox, the 21st March is the beginning. So when you take these 12 signs of the zodiac, when you divide it into 12 signs, because the Indian people say, no, it's all the constellations we are taking, and it's the real constellations out there, but then they take equal 30 degrees anyways. And all the constellations are completely different, so it's obviously they're not taking the constellations either. But what I find is everything has a beginning and an end, whether you have 12 apostles, you have 12 imams, you have 12 tribes, and the first one is always like the Aries quality, is more martial, is usually a very good in swords and war and all that also. It can be spiritual, but at the same time, it's known for its courage, etc. The last one is usually always like the Piscean theme always disappears, and so everything seems to have that. Whether you start a project, it has those 12 stages. The Leo stage would be the promotion. The import-export stage would be the Sagittarius. The working, making the craft, the trade part would be the Virgo stage of it. The Aries would be the beginning part of it. The feasibility of that would be one thing, and then Aquarius would be the new way of doing it, for example. And when it comes to the Pisces, then you start all over again. So that aspect applies to us in every aspect. Whether you take a Venus position, a Mercury position, the Sun, Moon, anything, and that's how we have to perceive it. Because somehow, when you take the fifth sign starting from that 0 degrees, that is the area of fame in your life.
Whatever the area of fame,
you'll have the fame. You'll have a certain class. You'll have that Bollywood type of taste, you know, like a bit show-off type of taste. Whereas Libra is more subtle. But Leo is the area that you can show off, whatever it is. And there are 12 different areas of life where it can be. If it's in your personality, like Marilyn Monroe, and Leo is in the first house, it comes up with, like many actors and actresses, for example, if they have Leo, some planets in Leo or planets right on top, they have this need within themselves to actually be seen, and they don't mind any form of, people are making fun of them, etc. They're completely immune to them. Because they really like themselves quite a lot. So that is part of the fame aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also want to take up some aspect of palmistry as well as we go along, so that it applies to everyone, so everyone can gain somewhat from it. So in your hand, the hand that you write with, that's the hand that, especially if you're writing, because your thoughts are behind all those lines. And you can be playing baseball, but the lines wouldn't change. But when you write, that's where, and the deeper you think, for example, it's better to have fewer lines, but deeper lines, especially in men. And women do tend to have more lines, and they do need more. They have a very sort of active nervous system usually. And one of the aspects of fame, Shevin, that I've found that, you know, there are two, three ingredients of that. The finger that's right next to the little one, that's called the Apollo finger.
Right.
Or the Sun.
That's to be longer than the index, right?
That's right. If that is longer than the index, that's one. Any line going towards that, if any line is going from the side, for example, is coming up, that's fantastic for public response. And if that's
I think we have
a caller. Please go ahead.
Oh, sure.
Hello.
Hello, Hassan.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
I'm at the loss right now.
Oh, is that Phyllis?
Yes.
How are you, my dear? Shevin, this is Phyllis. Phyllis, this is Shevin.
Hi, how are you?
Shevin.
We've got a complete triangle here.
Well,
I'm so happy to see you. You know, Shevin, we met about 25, 30 years ago almost.
Wow.
It's amazing. I was starting astrology, and Phyllis used to be at the...
It was 1975.
The what?
Yes, I just read it in Tessie's book.
Yeah. And she sat and as soon as I saw her, I just fell in love with her soul. You know, she's got that sort of that Piscean look about her.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. She's a Libra with Mercury, with Neptune conjunction, Mercury and Virgo. But such a beautiful, beautiful soul. And I always felt that with all these nakshatras and dasa that she went into, at first I was a little sad, actually, that she was going off a tangent, I felt. But I had real trust in her, that I knew that she needs much more of the spiritual or the soul aspect that the Indian people are more into, rather than just a materialistic approach, you know, as many astrologers here. So, but luckily, you know, we have come into this aspect because I never lost that faith in the original aspect of, and that's what we are trying to get together now, because I didn't want to go into the Indian system just in case it is wrong. So she's done all her homework there. She's very well versed with the Western system. She's fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
And now with INM, the precession of the equinox, when you make it zero, it becomes perfect.
Right.
Well, now that's what our research is going to be about. Because we must understand that the two systems are complete unto themselves. There is a merging, and that is what our research is going to show, where that merging occurs.
The only thing which I'm not able to reconcile at all, and I cannot, and I don't see justification that, like you see, Phyllis herself has Venus and Virgo. And I asked, you know, that she, but the Eastern system will be Venus and Leo. So that part, definitely, she'll never be able to convince me. And she's such a humble person, you know. She just loves like pure cotton as opposed to she's the least show-off person you've ever seen.
Now, just a second. This is what's kept our relationship alive for 30-some years, is that we each have an opinion, but we each look for the truth. And this is going to be phenomenal research. And anyone who wants to line up for it or contribute to it would be wonderful.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
But I think with all this, and what we're doing, you know, Sherwin, we are developing programs here where you'll be able to see instantly this extra meaning with all these nakshatras and datas. And because I believe that all these things originally laid out the foundation, and nobody is following their thing. They just arbitrarily change it with the precession equinox, taking into consideration the constellation.
That may have a historical root, Hassan. Because tropical zodiac is based on the sun alone, and the sun is vital. There's no question. It's the source of life. However, the nakshatras are based on the moon, which represents the mother.
I know,
so
but the starting point, that was where the problem was, that the vernal equinox, it starts at 0 degrees Aries. The line is coming out not very clear, unfortunately. I wish it was a bit more. Can you hear me, Phyllis?
You were very staticky. You're very broken up.
Yes, Don had said that AT&T is fixing it, for example, hopefully by next time, can be called so. But we'd like to get some ideas about, you know, about the themes. You know, Phyllis, I was saying that Sherwin actually is not really into astrology without going through any formal aspect, but he really, really, he's got Mercury-Venus conjunction in Sagittarius in the ninth. So he's really, he picks up things very fast. And he became really quite good at it, and just by understanding the theme, so you understand that really well. So we were talking about the different movies that come out, and these 12 themes, and that's where the starting point, to me, the vernal equinox becomes very important. Like, for example, when the planets are in Aries, for example, that was like the action movies. And when it's in the Taurus, it will become like the historical channel, you know, the history channel, old-fashioned romance, all the Taurian themes. When it's in Gemini, when the planets are there, usually it's like the comedies and Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin movies. All that part was the aspect. The fourth aspect, when it was in Cancer, I'm sure you guessed it. It says the Disney Channel, of course, the Family Channel, and the Santa movies. And when the planets were in Leo, that's when you get you get these heroic type of movies. And Superman, for example. Thing which really inspire you and take you up also. So in Virgo we get the Cinderella type, the secretary and the boss aspect. In Libra, of course, it's the romantic and the love stories. When it's in Scorpio, you get all these life and death and FBI and the Raiders of the Lost Ark and so-called thrillers. And in ninth, of course, we get the religious and the spiritual ones, the Ten Commandments and the Ben-Hur. And ironically, it always comes up in December also, of course, when the sun is in Sagittarius. In the 10th, when it's in Capricorn, planets, of course, you get the documentaries of success and business and Bill Gates and Donald Trump and all that, entrepreneurial theme. When it's in Aquarius, of course, that's your Star Trek, I guess, and the Back to Future.
Right.
And in Pisces, you get the inspirational ones, the Romeo and Juliet, the tragedies, etc. And it's so interesting, you know, when the planets are shifting, whether it's Neptune in that sign, for example, or like Saturn was in Scorpio in the 80s and 88, 89, around that time, and everybody was wearing black from top to bottom, like the punk was suddenly became the vogue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as Pluto is moving into Capricorn, you're getting that, skeletons and it's a combination of that as well coming up. What do you think, Sherwin? Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It absolutely does. And the timing of certain movies when they come out, or even I notice sometimes if Mars in a certain sign, when they make the movie and Mars is in a certain sign, it turns out a certain way. It colors the way the movie is made, you know?
Yes.
Even when they're actually shooting it, so that when it, maybe it's Mars is in Scorpio and they're shooting something, it might come out a little more violent than originally intended, you know, or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly.
And then, of course, when it's released also, the timing of the release sometimes coincides as well with the planets, too.
That's right. You know, and I find, for example, the big parties, like Hollywood, et cetera, that comes up, and you'll find if Moon is in Leo, then it's a fantastic party. If it's in Aquarius, it's just futuristic effects. Or if it's in Virgo, for example, there's some sad news that time. It seems to dampen the whole thing. Fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting the first 6 months of next year when Jupiter moves into Aquarius. That'll be absolutely amazing. Phyllis, in Indian astrology, do they take the world events, etc.? I wonder if they follow that part. Trevor, is Phyllis on the line, do you think?
I haven't heard her. I think maybe she got cut off.
Thanks.
Yeah, she got cut off. Yeah, I think she got cut off.
So we will start again. She's such a wonderful person. And what I'm doing is, and she has worked so hard, during the strip starts, I mean, she really learned the hard way. And Mrs. Tessie, she was a very good teacher. She had this free-floating Mercury in Virgo. But Phyllis really worked hard. And all the strip charts to rectify a chart. That's the best training, actually, you have to. And I was thinking of actually reviving the astrological studies with her.
Right.
But it would be wonderful. But this time, of course, we'll have everything on the internet. You'll be able to check all kinds of charts, so many free things available to people, like the charts or the milestones that we are doing. You'll be able to actually use it.
Yeah.
And what I like about her also, she's more into the counseling aspect so that people can understand themselves and apply the knowledge rather than do this
right.
and do that.
Right, just take advice, right.
That's right, yeah.
Now, Sean, you were talking about the fame. You were saying the line, the first is the finger being longer, the second, the line going from the side of the palm up to the Apollo.
That's right, Apollo. Now that one is tremendous as a public response. If it comes from the lifeline or the career line goes up, then that's usually about 23, 24 it starts, and that's also quite good. But the other one is the one with the public response from the side of the percussion coming up. That part.
Oh, is that from the side where, like, you would chop?
Yes. Right, you do the karate chop, yes.
Yeah.
What they call Mount of Luna. From there, that's where the word lunatic comes from, if it's too prominent. And that's a very strong answer of the public also, because the public goes with the moon represents the moods and the emotions. And by the way, one thing I found, which is totally opposite to almost every film person teaches, that when they always talk about how it should be emotional and put your heart and soul and, show the emotions, I found the best actors are the ones who were completely bottled up with their emotions and couldn't show their emotions in real life at all. In other words, 90% of them had Moon Saturn or Moon in Capricorn, or Moon Saturn, whether you take Elvis Presley nobody considers him a good actor, but he still had that aspect. Marlon Brando or any one of these, Angelina Jolie, for example. When they have this dark comedy, for example, when they don't show their emotions or smiles at all?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
I think we have... Oh, hi, Phyllis.
Yes.
How are you, my dear?
I got cut off.
Yes. They're having a bad time. We'll have to have a really good discussion at some point when the line is really good. Unfortunately, the line is... They're still working on that. The main thing is the first six months of next year...
The sidereal system does follow...
The what?
Call it the sidereal system. Jyotish definitely follows politics and world events. Definitely. Anyway, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, my dear.
Okay.
Thanks. But it's wonderful to have you, Phyllis. And we'll keep in touch. We'll start having some. I'm sure very soon we'll be able to talk much easier. Yeah, I'd really like to get the viewpoint of that. Sherwin, you understand what we're trying to do here, Sherwin?
Yeah.
There are all these nakshatras and dasa systems and the navamsa, the harmonics and all what they did, the original people. But the main point to me, I reduce everything to this basic, simple thing, where the starting point is, that's all.
Yeah.
And to me, everything boils down to the sun's relationship with the earth. Whether it's seen in the background or of the constellations or whatever, that all becomes secondary. The main aspect is, when it's in a 0-degree Aries, what is a 0-degree Aries point? Well, forget about the constellation for the time being. Just that point, it's like the beginning, the new birth, all the plants start blossoming, for example, at that time. There's a certain energy that you feel. And that beginning part. For example, the first 6 months of next year, Jupiter moving into Aquarius, the sign of all these, the internet, the high tech, you will see absolutely revolutionary technology. And luckily, with Saturn being in Virgo, there's a real standardization going on. Behind the scenes, probably, like even right now, things are not really cross-platform as much as they should. You've got all the extensions and all these things, there are different operating systems and all. Even the different plugs, for example, you take three different laptops and they all require different type of input, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very frustrating. If it was, I know they may, make a few dollars extra, but it would be so nice if they all had the same transformer, the same thing. It would be so much easier for all of us.
But you think we're heading that way anyway,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With the Saturn being in the sign of Virgo, another thing would be happening, the precision instruments. At a nano level, for example, like atomic clock, like all these things, all that part is a Virgo theme.
Yeah.
And also the drive towards organic things, for example, or naturopathy as such. When you take that in consideration, I mean, in conjunction with the Aquarius theme, the Jupiter being in Aquarius the first 6 months, then you can see the internet really will become so fast and so much more efficient and totally revolutionary way. Like today, for example, I was actually doing some programming, and we have thousands of charts, and the things, the degrees are given in decimal. So now we have to convert it into zodiac. But instead of doing a little programming on it to automatically convert that, because even that will take some speed, I just thought of a really interesting idea. Now we already have the sun either in the first sign, second sign, from 1 to 12. So instead of having a separate program saying when it's in 1, make it Aries, 1 is 2. What I did was I just found all the sun in Aries and made up a new field and just called that Aries and said all these 5,000 charts that I have all with number 1, make this one Aries, for example. There's no calculation involved. It's just a text field just for us, for astrology to interpret, because calculations will still be based on decimals. So it makes it so much easier. So the simplicity and divine truth is always, always very, very simple.
Okay.
And that's why when people give all these convoluted, all kinds of, like when I made the prediction about the stock market crash in 87, and I done it in 86, based on Saturn being the sign of Sagittarius. And here's something which is a curb, and it's in the sign of Sagittarius, the sign of gambling and stock market, and just based on that, exactly the same thing which happened in 1929 crash. And always towards the last degrees, people don't seem to learn. They keep on speculating, because a major crisis happens.
Yeah.
And, So I try to keep these things very simple, and I have been actually suppressing my urge to really find answers even my intuition to block it. I mean, I try to block it because you can only program the computer with the logic. And but we are getting there now, so we'll have all these thousands of databases for anything that we need, for example, from medicine to... And my personal interest is, of course, to find the themes and how you can offset those themes. If you have this need to save people, and if you don't get involved with a profession where you're saving people, then you pick up lost cause in your personal life, whether alcoholics or drug addicts or theme. Yeah.
Right.
But I really want to take the culture into consideration also, Shervin.
Yes.
Like in the Indian system, for example, I mean, and with the Indian people, they watch a lot of these. You know, their movies are full of all these fantasies, but usually have the good endings. But they have this family dramas a lot. They focus a lot on that, but they have a lot of myriad of emotions. Now the sadness, the tears, may be predictable one's chart, but to them, you cannot say you're having tragedy in your life. Maybe they're watching a tragedy. Maybe they're watching this movie, crying their heart out, completely offsets the theme.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find it about the offsetting the theme, Shervin?
I find it works. I remember one time about 5 years ago, I was playing a video game driving video game, and you called me, and you said, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing this video game, and I crashed in the game, and you told me that was great. That offset the Mars Saturn that I was going through at the time.
Yeah,
so exactly. I never forgot that, you know? I always remember that.
And that really, really worked. Absolutely, you're right.
And I'll tell you something else. I'm working on a scene from Romeo and Juliet, and it's amazing. All this time that I've had the Saturn Venus, I have not been able to get this scene together for the life of me. Now,
really?
as it's coming to an end, the Saturn Venus is ending now, and so I'm just starting to be able to get together with her.
So here's my chord here, you know.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
I'd love this chord, you know. It's a $10,000 machine, but it's absolutely amazing, one of the best in the world.
You love
and
the toys.
Huh? You can give complete music for the orchestra, everything.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting, as you were speaking, I was actually playing in the background, just lightly, as I was speaking to you, looking at the CN Tower and outside, and the lake here, and I was just playing that while you said...
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, just now that the Saturn Venus is ending, I'm able to get together with a new... I finally recast it, and now we're working on it.
Really?
But it's interesting how during that Saturn Venus, I couldn't even get together with her to rehearse this romantic scene, you know? that's about these two lovers, you know? So you were saying...
I still think something about the space thing, the connection with the aliens. I think some movie... The first connection with the aliens, I think that somehow you're going to be involved with that part.
I hope you're right. Because
with
I
all your plans in the ninth
that.
House. But it had to start with the astrology thing.
Yeah.
I always said. I know. Because you've got such a good chart for that. And hopefully we'll be in Sirius very soon on that, on the satellite, actually, on the satellite radio. As soon as I finish with all my databases, which are almost done, and we'll have. And in the databases, I'm making... Right from composers and artists to all kinds of different people. But it's amazing, you know, even in music, there are so many composers who were really good, but they were not famous. And what I'm looking for are two completely different things. One is a pure talent, and the other one is achievement.
Yes.
And to me, the talent part is what I personally admire in people.
Yes.
And, of course, I mean, the achievement is good for the masses, for public, for your work to be known. But the talent is totally, totally independent of that. You can keep on working and practicing. And the thing is, for example, without any practice, and you just start, for example, and you just do it.
Yes.
But and people like yourself and myself also, you know, when we get these Saturn aspects, that, of course, makes you like a real genius.
Right.
In fact,
right.
You were born with that, Saturn Mercury, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you, you said that these actors with Saturn Moon or Moon in Capricorn.
Yes.
Any other Saturn aspect, or is it always has to be to the Moon? Because I mean, I'm a Capricorn, so it's Sun Saturn, and I have Mercury Saturn opposition. But I have also a little Venus Saturn, a little Neptune Saturn.
That's right.
And
it definitely makes it much more authentic. Also, the roles that you play. And
oh, it does.
Thing,
if I don't feel truthful playing something, I don't want to play it. I'm serious.
Really?
I've gotten into trouble because
you want a real heartache.
You know, yeah. Honestly, I was starting Hamlet.
Real heartache, real
like,
punches.
I was doing Hamlet, and I felt like I just didn't have an iota of this man's grief, so I just stopped. I stopped doing it. I said, I'm, So the next
that
time when I did it,
driven.
Well, the next time that I did it, I think the teacher was shocked, and he said, I think you're very dark. I mean, this is Hamlet, but wow.
Really? Yeah, the Mars in Scorpio.
Gotta
I remember
be truthful.
The teacher, you know, Mrs. Tessier. I was reading a book, and I didn't know her chart that well at that time, actually. And I noticed that in her book, she had written like 2-3 pages on Mars in Scorpio, and everything was just a half page or something. So I immediately recognized, I said, she must have Mars in Scorpio. And when I told her that, certainly sometime when you talk about, you know, that you were in Holland and this, or in Germany, and you open the door and this Nazi person came and he just shot them. I knew it was total fabrication, but it gave me an insight in a Mars in Scorpio. like a real cold anger. I was laughing my head off with that.
Wow.
It's like a black Porsche.
Yeah. Well, you
and
me
and Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, they play like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That is, to me, that Mars and Scorpio theme.
Yeah. But does Angelina Jolie have Mars and Scorpio?
She has a lot of Aries planets, actually. Mars and Aries, Moon and Aries, and 3-4 Aries planets, I think, also.
Yeah. Now, Hassan,
what
about
Cancer,
the Earth?
But her planets are coming down, actually, you know. That's why, of course, she has twins and all that, so people tend to focus much more on their on the family and the home, what they really enjoy.
Yeah. Now, Hassan, what about the earthquake? Do you think that California is in any big danger, or
that part is coming up. You're safe for now. But let me just see. I was just looking at aspect. Do you remember when was it? On July when?
It was on Tuesday, this past Tuesday.
Tuesday was... I didn't have a chance to look at that, actually. Tuesday was 28th, I believe, right?
Yeah.
I think it was 28th. Let me have a quick look here. I can see 28th. Because there's another aspect coming up around... 28th, Moon was in Leo, was it?
29th, oh, wait a minute. August 1st is a Friday, 31st is Thursday,
30th,
Wednesday, 29th, Hassan.
No, 29th of July. It was in Gemini, opposition to Pluto. There was a Moon, Uranus, Pluto, T-square.
But also Mars and Saturn in the sky. Mars and Saturn in the sky.
And Mars and Saturn continues outside. It was going away, though. It's 16 degrees Mars. Yeah, so slowly moving. But the more than Mars Saturn, it was Mars Uranus opposition.
Yeah.
That part, definitely, yeah. That's one aspect, and that's still going on, actually. In about 3-4 days, it becomes exact. And also, there's in August, the Mars Uranus is exact on the 6th of August, actually, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there's a. There's a full moon a little later on coming up. Let me see when the full moon is coming up. That's 16th of August, yeah. A lot of planets coming in Virgo, actually. You know, the danger aspect comes, for example, Mars Uranus, you'll find a lot of aviation type of things, or the hard disk crashes, for example, and which also, of course, indicates, of course, in these, sometimes there's solar flares. Anything which has electronics aspect, it definitely is not the best aspect for it. The Mars-Pluto, which is a violent sort of an aspect also, that shows up around 17th of August. And whether it's violent movies, for example, or... And we don't even realize what goes on in Iraq and all that too, of course.
Yeah.
But the one that's coming up is around... the one that's really critical is 4th of November, which is Mars-Neptune square. And it's happening in the sign of Scorpio. That's why I think October is a bit critical, actually, but I don't think it'll be able to do anything with Iran. As I said before... They will try their best. It will seem as if they are about to bomb, but nothing will happen. America, Iran is able to play these people like chess games. And mainly because they're on the right. Also, if you really think about it, I mean, they have every right to make the nuclear energy. It's only 3-4% concentration. And they haven't attacked anybody for hundreds of years.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah. So it's just for peaceful purposes as they want and... but the main thing is, it's not because of that at all. It's mainly because they've gone on this bourse, the stock market, I mean, the oil trading, not in U.S. dollars, but in euros. That is really, really affecting the economy here.
It sure
Especially
is.
If Qatar and Saudi Arabia, if they follow it, then it becomes a very difficult thing. Going through all this Federal Reserve, etc. Luckily, Canada is not going to be affected that much because our small industry, actually, the small business is about at least 30-40% is just there. We're not just dependent on one or two commodities. But, you know, you take a place like Dubai. You know, it's such a futuristic aspect. The ruler is Sagittarius, as you probably know, you know, the emir there.
Right.
But they are so advanced in so many things, and they're not producing oil or anything like that at all. But, you know, there's a whole media city there, bigger than the Atlantic thing of CNN, for example, here. They have CNN there, they have BBC, they have Reuters, huge buildings just dedicated to, the whole thing is just media city. And they have a sports city, where they have, for example, they have like six huge stadiums. And so it's just quite an interesting thing coming up. But I think it's going a little too, becoming a playground only for the rich and famous.
Yeah.
Like 140-story building. I mean, it becomes the skyscrapers, and 25% of the all these things coming from all around the world, and these dynamic architecture they are starting now, where each floor independently moves around, so you can have any view that you want, 360 degrees. I can park your Ferraris on top, and it's totally...
Wow.
It's a really, really interesting lifestyle, though. No. For astronomy, it'd be fantastic, because you can see the planets all around. And you can actually rotate it. Imagine, you know, without even using the wedges and all that, you have a planet, and the whole thing is moving exactly with in opposite direction, I mean the same direction as the Earth, but at the same speed. Then it'll be as if it's just, as if the planets are just constant. So it'll be so, such an amazing thing.
Wow.
But
you know,
the one other thing which I want to say, you know, about some aspects, some people had emailed me that they want to know about the aspects and why, if planets are on top of the chart or below the chart, why is it that some people are famous if they have planets above? What does that mean? Because basically, below the horizon indicates the thing which are dependent on yourself, all your own efforts, and when you, and how much groundwork you put in. And where above the horizon indicates the need within you for recognition. That is more strong, and that's exactly when, like, for example, the finger of Apollo, the second one from the little one, if that is longer, you definitely have more of a need to show up, or you don't really care for other people's opinion. That's how I like to actually, you know. And those
sounds
are the people, women, sometimes they can be a little too aggressive, so quite often many of these women who have this alternate lifestyle, women with a female son, that's another theme, so that becomes a bit of a cash-20 situation there. But in men, for both, it does apply, but the show part or being on the limelight, being on the stage, that's a very important aspect.
Right.
Yeah. And the other aspect is the public response. So your own need to come out, and every opportunity that you come up, for example, and there's a certain dramatic flair also. Another thing which is very important for the orators and actors is a little mount between the Mercury finger, the little finger, and right next to the Apollo finger. You know, just below it is that protrusion, that mount.
Yes.
That mount is very, very important. If it's slightly misplaced, it's not under Mercury, but right in between the two. Then you have the ability to dramatize the communication. So some of the best orators are born with that. And it gives a certain force of conviction, and which is very appealing to the people. It's a confidence with which you say things, and that you absolutely believe in it also.
Yes.
So those
are in my hand. That's a pretty big mount on my hand.
Yes, you should have that with your Mercury inside too, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, you know, like you just, without even realizing, when you learned astrology, you learned so much, you picked up so fast. Because you have a natural interest in the mysteries of life, and the ninth house, the highest astral truth and philosophy, I mean, that's the best placement for it.
Yes.
And it's very ironic that you also have Scorpio as part of the ninth house, Scorpio and Sagittarius. So the Scorpio part, like Nostradamus, he had exactly the same thing, by the way. And
he was Pisces rising?
He had Pisces rising. He gave himself Aries rising. Total nonsense. He was not Aries rising at all. When you look at him, the long hair, the, you know, like he's like a priest, for example, like deep pathos, always saving people, never impatient or impulsive with people or anything like that at all. Total Pisces. His whole energy. So I changed his chart around. I said, why are people just believing whatever he said, for example? Because he purposely, he always misled people purposely.
Yes.
And to protect also, he had Scorpio in the ninth house, and he saw his, his nanny being burned at the stake when he was 13 years old. And the whole church was against him. He was a Sephardic Jew, actually, and then he converted to Catholicism, and all his life he ran away from the church also. But Scorpio gives like where your enemies are, or you feel like hatred towards something. So it just needs a bit more. But Pluto, having gone into your ninth house completely, now it's finished now, it's just about completely finished. The last week is always the most critical one, so you completely redefine your relationship with God, and also that you become less bitter with this aspect.
Yes.
I just tell people to go to any place of worship just because it brings the beggar and the king together. Many of my Catholic Christian friends, I tell them to go to a Ukrainian church from time to time because you don't understand their language, just for realization of truth, that everybody is in a state of prayer. So it puts everything in the right perspective now.
Yes, I understand.
So my astro love is coming along quite well, Shervin, our website. We've got the elements on it also now, that you can actually see a chart and all the elements, and Also, you can actually compare either your chart with other people or other celebrities together. Like, it's interesting, I was comparing Michael Douglas with Zeta Jones. And they don't have a good relationship at all. It's amazing. In fact, they have some violent aspect between each other, like Mars, Saturn, and all that. Hardly any fire. She has no fire planet, like just maybe one, something very small. But both have earth and air. So they'll hang on for security. And because of good communication aspect, so the air and earth is there. And she has Venus in Virgo, of course. So, in fact, she's going through that divorce separation aspect right now, exactly like Sean Penn's wife, Robin. Actually, Robin and Sean Penn were going through it, but it's just finishing now.
Oh, yes. And they decided to stay together. They reconciled.
Well, yeah, there were some all kinds of things behind that. There were some people behind it also, of course. But that is one aspect for sure.
Yeah.
And people do become more realistic in the expectation also because of that. But Michael Douglas and Zeta Jones, they have quite a good relationship, actually. And in fact, I was working with Phyllis on that, actually, because she's done a lot of this scoring thing. And very interesting, you know, because we were thinking of doing two different systems. One is we'll give it a point, like Mars, Saturn, we'll give it minus 10, for example. Or Sun conjunct Sun, for example, let's say plus 10. But Mrs. Tessier had a rule where she only gave like 1 point. Either plus or minus. It's very simple. And she used to have, like, if you have 28 contacts in a chart, I believe it was 28 or 22, I forget. Phyllis knows the exact numbers and all that. But, and two-thirds should be good, all that. Because having any more contacts, that's the first thing. Because some people don't have any contacts at all. You need a minimum of certain key contacts. We'll have, you know, when the line is good, we'll have a good discussion with Phyllis about that because she's very knowledgeable about all that. So we're doing the scoring. And I'm actually testing the whole thing also with my own experience as well, because I'm it's very difficult to program these things. You see, for example, you know, one person may have, you may have no planets in water or fire signs, but your rising sign is a fire, and you have a Mars Jupiter. If you have a Mars Jupiter aspect in the chart, any aspect, it compensates for lack of fire a lot. You get a sudden burst of energy. I think you have a Mars Jupiter, don't you?
Yeah. Well, how much of an orb do you give a sextile?
Well, you see, the thing is, in my case, I would increase the orbs because if you push it, you can. You can make it even 10 degrees is fine, because basically that just indicates your own. Let's say if it's 15 degrees apart, you may feel like going to the, you know, doing karate and all, but you don't do it. So if you can push yourself, you can actually increase those orbs. It's purely by your own free choice, you can actually increase the orbs. I've never heard that any astrologer say that, but I'm quite positive. I'm sure Phyllis will agree with me with that also. But basically, your neural pathways.
Right.
So just like your Mercury being in the ninth house, you're using a specific part of the brain. So once we come out with our Jupiter pills, we'll make people think our way, hopefully.
It's 9 degrees apart. It's almost 9 degrees apart.
Oh, you definitely can take that for sure. And you've done karate and all that. You're very sporting. The way you drive is definitely as Mars Jupiter.
Well, that and also the Mercury and Sag, the impatience. Yeah,
that definitely gives it reflexes, the fast speed and all that,
Yeah.
But you do like the action part.
Oh, absolutely, I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I remember, beginning, I think you thought that you had Aries rising, right?
Yes, because they went by the time that the doctor came out of the
hospital room. Yes, but your brain line, I from what I remember, I think is joined, right?
It is joined, and also 10 minutes before is really when we settled with.
That's right, and the Pisces, and I know that Piscean energy for so much, you know, Sherwin.
No, I am Pisces rising, I know.
Quality about these people, a sort of a lost boy look about these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know I have Pisces rising. I'm certain of it. I feel it. I know it is.
Really, yeah.
But at least I try to use it.
And Pisces and Aries in the first house makes it much nicer combination because you're both, it's like a pioneer and a poet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you love the ocean, the water. In fact, some of the most creative things will be near the ocean, near the water, near the boardwalk, near the beach. That's what you should be doing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Shivan, I was also thinking for earthquakes, I was thinking of having a container, for example, let's say one room in a house or anything, for example, which there's a high-pitched siren which is triggered by the seismic aspect or the minute something starts, and then everybody just jumps in there. But to see, let's say it's made of a very high tensile, not plastic, but any of these materials, these exotic materials, then it just afloats for about, let's say, 5 minutes, that's all. But it's got high pressure air on top or helium balloons or whatever, for example. But the idea is to have it aboard, afloat for about 5 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
You can imagine thousands of these things, and they're just self-contained, and you just press this button, and it just keeps it up for about 5 minutes, and that's it. Well, if after coming, we'll avoid thousands of injuries also.
Yeah, because they don't last long anyway, the earthquakes, you know?
That's right, yeah.
It's just, yeah. Well, let me ask you, Hassan, do you believe in this stuff about, you know, California or New York or something going underwater at some point? Do you believe that?
You know, it may be eroding slightly, but I don't believe it's just like that. I know there are so many doomsday prophets, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, when you look at the planets, I find when there are major earthquakes, like the San Francisco earthquake and all that, you find all kinds of traumas in the life. For example, there's a moon Saturn theme as well. That's a minor theme. It's not. But let's say moon in Pisces. There was a full moon in Pisces, for example, or because of the ocean, the storms were also coming at the same time. And the Mars, Neptune, the epidemics that go after that, for example, there's so many things with it. Rather just one thing that's there. So all those themes come into play, actually.
Okay.
But the most important thing, of course, is just the sun-moon angle and these things, because the moon exerts about 8 times the gravitational force on the Earth than the sun, because it's proximity to the Earth.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot closer.
Yeah. And this time, of course, there's an eclipse coming. I believe it. Did we just have it? No, it's just coming.
Yeah, we had a solar eclipse. What do you think that means astrologically?
Just recently, we had that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just it definitely becomes a powerful force. But also, you have to see how its aspect, what kind of aspects is making the chart. As I was saying, you see, if a person is born with planets above the horizon, let's say you're born with a planet in the 10th house. Let's say your moon in the 10th house, like Bill Gates, for example.
Yeah.
Now, he tends to keep a low profile, but regardless of, where the planets are, even if they're at the bottom of his chart, they make an aspect to that moon. As opposed to his having to wait for a planet to come right on top of the chart to be famous.
Yeah.
So even when the planets are down, they keep triggering it off. That's why those people are constantly in the limelight.
Yeah.
That's one of the most important reasons we find. The other things in the chart, which I find very intriguing, is the 12th house theme. What they used to call the self-undoing and things like that. So people who fit your 12th house, so in your case, Aquarius and Pisces, those people will pull you down. They'll be like your secret love and your secret enemy, people who are not the best for your health.
Yes.
Or you worry about them so much that it gives you sleepless nights.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that they are your enemies at all. It just indicates that because of them, you get into all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
That you worry about so much and all that. So, and you cannot help but worry about them.
Yes, we know who they are, don't we?
Yeah. So I think it was a good thing for you to go to Los Angeles, for sure.
Oh, yes, for my own health.
I mean, not like my girlfriend, by the way, just in case people think.
Well, but let me really ask you, Hassan, is it only the 10th house or also
the
planets in the 9th?
It's the 12th house, not the 10th.
No. I mean, for the fame thing.
No, I mean, the thing is, you know, if you have planets in the 10th, it's just easier. It depends on which planet. If you have Saturn there, these people don't care for recognition, but they will be known for being a scientist, for example.
Right. No, I have my Sun and my Jupiter there.
Yes, I know. And when that gets touched off the first 6 months of next year, you have Jupiter touching off your Mercury, your Venus, everything.
Yeah.
Like right now, you have Jupiter touching it off, but the first 6 months of next year, the whole technology of the world, along with the internet and the iPhones and all kinds of new technology, touching off your Mercury and Venus would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, very positive. And you have love, money, all those things going hand in hand.
Let's hope I'll be able to harness all that and actually take advantage.
Yes, I think we should focus more on the financial aspect and love will follow.
Yeah.
In the Western society, it's always like that.
No, Hassan, I've rarely sought love. I've always sought financial security, you know, because that's ultimately my biggest worry.
Well, your moon is Cancer. You were born rather close to full moon.
Oh, was I?
Yeah, because you have moon in Cancer. Now I just remembered, and Sun in Capricorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean if it's close to full moon?
Well, full moon, what happens to these people's career and home, they change at the same time usually, because both the moon and sun get touched off at the same time. So it's positive or negative, everything is accentuated.
Well, the only thing, Hassan, is that my sun is zero Capricorn, moon is 27, so they're so far apart.
I see, yeah. So it takes a bit of time. If it was exact full moon or something very close to it, when the aspects, around midpoint, about 15 degrees would be the most important one in your chart.
Yeah.
Around the time, because both would be affected. So if it's a positive aspect, you see, they both get it. If it's a negative aspect, they both get it as well.
Yeah.
So everything is just accentuated. I find people who are born new moons or full moons, there's a certain destined element about these people as well, I find.
Okay. That's what I was asking, yeah. Or does it make them more wild or no?
I guess you'll have to see which planets are involved and where it is and all that. If you left the Scorpio planets, for example. But
no, because
acting,
you know how...
Yeah, the thing which I would suggest with that Mars and Scorpio theme, you have to be very careful what kind of energy that you draw. Like, for example, Sharon Tate. You know, here she died this horrible death, for example. Her child they killed also, and this woman didn't have any mercy, even on the child, for example. The poor thing was saying, spare my child, for example. So I spent a lot of time on her chart, and Anne Polinsky's chart to see what was going on at that time, and Charles Manson's chart and all that. And I found that the last 3-4 movies that she made, they were all about vampires. And everything, and even this, all the blood and gore, the dagger, everything, very, very similar. I could not believe it.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you ask for this aspect. I mean, I'm not saying you ask for it, but, you know, you draw that type of theme.
Yeah.
So I find that, you know, when certain things can sublimate it, for example, when you're able to direct, let's say, but when you watch more and more blood and gore, it actually feeds it more.
Okay.
That's, one aspect I'm seeing. What I'm focusing a lot more, you see, and I hope to be, you'll get Phyllis also on that, because she's she's worked too hard. In a life, not to helping people. But with the modern advent of all the databases and all that, you will be able to try out all the systems and the minor aspects. For example, to help children go in the right area so they never have to take drugs, but other forms of intoxication. And that's when the fundamental themes are the most important.
Yeah.
So in your case, when you study astrology, the interest in astrology automatically indicates that in script writing, you'll go towards the aliens and all these other galaxies and all kinds of these topics too.
Yeah.
Like the Independence Day, for example.
Right, right. Except much better
that
written.
Actually would be, almost like the perfect movie for you also, because we've got that Mars and Scorpio too. But the minor aspects, you see, which quite often we don't take, like Mars, Uranus, I found a semi-square. It definitely, like Hitler, he almost died in that transit, in the Munich push, when there was a bomb explosion. There was a Mars, Uranus. Also, when both the Gandhis died, Mars, Uranus, semi-square, 45 degree
angle.
When
who died?
Yes.
I'm sorry, who are you talking about?
Rajiv Gandhi and Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And, really? And all these times, it was in the, Mars was transiting in the 11th house, for example. And mind you, many of them were born with Mars in the first house. Like Mahatma Gandhi was born in Mars and Scorpio and everything in the first house, just like Aldo Moro, who was actually shot in the head.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how these scenes come up and when the danger points are and how to avoid that. So what I'm developing now is we have it for our VIP clubs, actually, which is not really available to just everybody, but I'm developing it so that everybody will be able to have that. The marathon, you'll be able to say, you see, like a six star to the family at the same time, you'll be able to monitor. And if something happens to maybe one person's chart, it will show up, of course, in everybody's chart. And automatically flag it.
Yeah.
And one thing we are developing right now, is besides the astrological music aspect that automatically plays the right music based on the rising sign at that time, but also the genetic astrology, with 100 parents and one child, and less than 30 seconds, my doctor will tell you that child belongs to which parent. Not only that, but what traits has that child inherited from which parent?
Wow.
Purely based on the rulership.
Yeah.
Your Mercury Sagittarius, for example, is like Mercury in the 9th house, or Mercury Jupiter aspect.
Yeah.
So those themes, like if you marry a foreigner, that's a 9th house theme and a 7th house theme. It's Jupiter and Venus, Sagittarius and Libra. All these three things, you just put in any cross aspect, and you'll have that same theme. Sagittarius in the 7th house cusp, or Jupiter in the 7th, or Venus in the 9th, or Venus in Sagittarius, or Venus, any aspect to Jupiter.
Gotcha.
And the more of these things you see in the chart, and that is what you should see. Try to find, instead of just one thing at a time, that's the overall, the whole theme of the chart. It repeats itself over and over again. And just, and you know, that's how you're able to see that if Sagittarius in the seventh house with Venus conjunction and Venus in Sagittarius also, so many times it repeats itself, that person will not only marry a foreigner, they might meet them in a plane or a train or while traveling, actually.
Yeah.
So we're coming to the end of the show, actually, Shervin.
Okay.
And it's so interesting discussing with you. Wish the lines were better. Hopefully, the next few times it'll become. Don is very much into it. He's spent a lot of money on these, on getting a good system and all that, full trust in them. And he's got the Venus in Aquarius. He's also Sag, by the way.
Oh,
and he has
wonderful.
Mercury in Capricorn, so he's getting some good astro from Jupiter. So he's always updating it and the system and all that. And we'll have a clear line. Then we'll have Phyllis. Also, we'll discuss all these things, especially in the scoring of relationships. Actually, she is really, really interesting on that aspect. Which relationships are good and why and all that, you know. So thank you very much, Shervin.
Thank you. Thank you, Hassan. It was a pleasure as always.
And we'll have the archives also. Take care then.
Okay, thank you, Don. Take care.
Next time, this is astrologer Hassan Jaffer and Shervin wishing you all the best and good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.